Joining us now are dear friends and regular contributors for many, many years. They spoke nationally with Family Life's Weekend Remember Marriage Getaway, and they, you know, Cindy's been doing Pause for Prayer since 1998. It's time for My Marriage Matters with Joe and Cindy Farini. Welcome back, you two.
Thank you. Good morning.
How are you?
Doing great. So last time we did this whole men versus boys thing, and I was kind of like, well, that's done. I didn't know we would do this for ladies too, Cindy.
Well, I didn't either, but my dear friend Betsy McKinney sent a few different ideas over to me, and I thought, this is brilliant. So we worked on it for a couple of weeks, going back and forth, and there's probably still work to be done on it. There may be other charts out there, but this is attributed to Betsy McKinney, and we just had so much fun doing it. On the other hand, Joe said, I think I want to stay out of this.
I was going to say, I didn't think this was Joe's list of things women could do better.
No, I'm following out on this one.
No, but you know, he's like, I'll just listen. But you know, this was interesting because on the My Marriage Matters Facebook page, when we posted it, the original chart that we shared was from Family Life. And I had somebody who, you know, had some words to say about it and kind of like, you know, quit picking on men. So as soon as we're finished with this and I have the audio of this from Ron and my web guy gets it up, I'm going to send it to him because I want him to know. You know, we don't on Marriage Matters just pick on guys, but we pick on guys and we pick on gals.
Sure.
Pretty much the same. I don't keep a tally sheet, and that's not how you should do it in marriage either, by the way. But I feel like, you know, we all have a lot to learn. And so I hope that this gentleman that felt like maybe we were man or boy bashing would recognize that, you know, we want all of us to be mature in Christ. And hopefully this chart will get us there.
Well, one thing that this little exercise did for us, Brian, is that it helped us to realize that there are some parallel patterns and designs that each of us have been given by God. And, you know, one of the introductory statements we made last time was that when we see many of the problems that face marriages and families and communities, it can often be traced back to not following God's design for making something work properly.
Right.
And again, we're so gracious and really thankful to the design that God has provided for us. And so thankful for Betsy for putting this together.
Yeah, big time. Now, for the record, the three ladies that with us now, Cindy and Lauren and Daria, fully in the woman category, doing great. No improvements needed. Let's just let the record show that from all the men here on the team. But for any other woman, let's look at some of these comparisons here. What are some we should highlight?
Well, first of all, I would say that let's just remember that this is a journey for all of us, men and women. And, you know, when we're young, if our moms and dads help us to learn how to grow in the fear of the Lord and in the ways of the Lord, then we're going to become mature in Christ. And that is what this chart really exemplifies. We want to be mature in Christ. And so, again, it doesn't happen overnight. You're not going to be all the things that a woman should be. But let's learn from what we can, what each one of us can grow from. And maybe as people are listening, women are listening, they'll say, oh, my goodness, that's me. I need to change my ways. So the first one that we have, and it's one of my favorites, actually, is a girl will fantasize, a woman will visualize. And I feel like, you know, a young person, that they'll really fantasize on things in their future, like, oh, my marriage when I have, you know, get married someday, and the man I'm going to love, and the children that we'll have, and maybe that this maybe other people will be like really into like romance novels and just kind of like another world kind of thing where you're not really in the moment or in the present. But a woman is going to visualize things and plan things and look forward to the future in ways that I feel like are substantial and not flighty. And so that would be maybe one of the first items.
That's powerful. And I think it's true. We just had our friend Jamie Buxton on, and she said it was rude of her. She was kidding. It was rude of her husband to not like the names she developed for their children before she met him. She's a little girl coming up with all the kids.
Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
Exactly.
And she probably has some girl names in there too, and she has all boys.
That's right. Yes. So what's another one we should look at?
You want to take one? You want me? He's pointing to me. No.
I bet he is.
This is all you. Okay.
He'll jump in as he'd like. Yeah. I don't want him to feel like the pressure of whatever his pressure is feeling. Self-conscious. When, you know, you think about yourself, or like, when I walk in a room, what is everyone going to think? Or how am I doing at this? And just really kind of overthinking things. And just, and you know what that really, really turns into is being selfish in certain ways of thinking. And then yet, that's the girl side, of course. And then the woman side would be self-aware to say, you know, who am I? Who did God make me? What are my gifts? What are my treasures? What are the things that he has given me as strengths? And what has he given me as weaknesses that I can become self-aware of, make those changes it where they're possible, and move on from there? And I feel like, I like a lot of these, but I like this one because it gives us a real sense of reality and who we are. And then from there, I feel like we can live really intentionally as opposed to in that fantasizing world, making us think like we're all about that, whatever that is for each person.
Yeah, you know, when someone's self-conscious, it doesn't feel selfish, so to speak, but I think you're right on that. If we're constantly thinking about how we are perceived, thinking about ourselves, it's inherently a selfish act. And I think that helps kind of maybe move towards self-awareness as opposed to self-consciousness.
Sure. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. I like that idea. And then I like this one too. A girl would be fearful and afraid and, you know, kind of worried about taking that next step forward. Where a woman will have confidence, she may be spirited in a way, like I like to think of it more as energetic and not, not afraid to try something. And I'm not talking about risk. I know for myself personally, I'm not a risk taker. And so for me, there's a fear factor in certain risks. Mm-hmm. I'm just talking about being afraid of everything. Like, I don't know if I should do that, because if I do that, what's going to happen? And then you bring in that self-conscious thing. And so I think, you know, as a woman, you begin to have the confidence where you say, you know, I'm not really sure how this will turn out, but I understand this is what I need to do. And then you gain the confidence, and really you gain that confidence through the Lord Jesus. And then he gives you really the spiritedness to see that through.
Yeah, you know, I have a psychologist friend who told me something pretty powerful on this for women as well. He said that you can often tell, he said when you encounter a confident woman, it often is a result of her being loved well by her father.
And
the more I've looked around, like when you talk to Lauren and you talk to Daria, you talk to my wife, Sarah, you end up encountering women who have fathers who loved them well. And so I think it's a good motive for dads. If you want to raise a confident woman, that's how you do it. You love your daughter well.
Yes. And, Joe, go ahead.
No, actually, I would say, let's take that to the next step.
Right.
You know, in marriage, a woman really becomes a reflection of how you treat her as a husband.
Yeah.
You know? And if you don't like how she's acting, look at how you're treating her. That's what I would recommend.
That's great, Joe. That's great. Cindy, what's up next?
So the next one would be... a girl would be gossipy and catty. You've probably heard that term, catty. And a woman would be thoughtfully silent. I think there's times where, you know, you might want to talk to your friend about something that's really bothering you, and it may come across more catty if other people were listening to you, but it's a private conversation where you, maybe you're working things through and so forth. But if you're with other people, like a group of people, I think it's just important to just be silent. And not just chime in on every single thing that somebody else is saying that might be hurtful about somebody or to someone else. So that idea of being thoughtfully silent.
You know, and this is one of those attributes we're talking about here, Brian, that this really applies to guys as well. I mean, who doesn't hate a guy who's a gossiper, you know, or as opposed to someone who's just be glad to sit in the back of the room somehow sometimes and just be silent and just listen to what's being said and just take in what's being said, and so that you can make an educated, contribution to that conversation rather than taking the lead and gossiping.
Yes, I think observation in a case like this is really important.
Well, and you know, as a guy too, I've noticed how hard women are on each other. Like, it's not you. I mean, maybe they're gossiping about guys, but man, women are hard on each other and catty and I don't know. How, and I think Christian women have an opportunity to kind of be different.
Yes, I agree. You know, we have, I have a group of five women that have, we have been together for years and years and years and years, and we do things together throughout the year. And I just think it's so wonderful because we lift each other up, and I'm thankful for that. So thank you for that point that you just made. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you bet. All right, let's keep rolling here on the list.
I like this one too. A girl will be aggressive, you know, wanting her own way and kind of, we'll kind of get to another word later, but aggressive, just kind of pushy. But a woman is going to be appropriately assertive. And I like to think of that one as, like aggressive maybe is kind of getting my own way, but being appropriately assertive, to me that brings other people into the picture where you're not, like I guess you're sticking up for the underdog, or you're sticking up for yourself even, but sticking up for other people, maybe your daughter, maybe your friend, and maybe other people in your presence. And so it's a much more intentional, thoughtful kind of thing. And then let's kind of go to the next one, because it really is similar, and that's confrontational. But the grown-up version of confrontational is being cooperative. Being cooperative doesn't mean that you just sit back and take it. It just means that when you're able to, you don't have to confront about everything, but that you can have a spirit of being cooperative. And then selfish, and this goes for men or women, but in this case, in being a girl, just selfish, wanting things your own way, talking about yourself all the time. And then a woman really would be considerate, thinking of others more than herself. And we talk about that verse so much, don't we? with different communication types of things. And then being frivolous.
Some of these are so hard for me to follow up on, Cindy. Because I don't know what I could possibly say without getting in trouble.
It's okay.
That is exactly my note on this page is I'm staying out of this one.
It's good though, but I mean these are all good teachable moments. And if any listener, including myself, reads this, and I think, oh, this is me, then I have some work to do, you know. And that's, I'm not pointing a finger at anybody. We didn't make this chart for one person in particular. So
you weren't thinking about Lauren or something when you were?
No, no.
Maybe Daria?
Yeah, not at all. No. I think you have some very mature women on your team, and I've told them that. By the way, they are. They have great ideas and great. Great thought process.
That's the most correct you've ever been.
Very good.
And then just being frivolous. I love this one because what we came up with from being a girl who's frivolous to be a woman who is resourceful, I feel like, you know, with my background of having a home economics degree and you think about the economic part of it, that is something that I really learned to be resourceful, not just in like money aspects, but in being resourceful in how you create things, the creative end of you. There's not just one answer to something. There's more than one. And just how resourceful can you be? And I think this is kind of a fun one. So being frivolous in a fun sort of way is different than being frivolous and being foolish.
Yeah, you know, and you bring up your background as a home economics teacher, which became family and consumer life sciences and is now probably, I don't know, engineering, or I don't know what they call it now, but I think that's one of the things lost when we abandon that field of study is it really does teach a whole lot of different types of resourcefulness, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it does. You know, really some of what we taught was human development, family development, personal and family relations. And so it wasn't just like, how do I cook and how do I sew and that kind of thing. There was more to it, and I think there's a lot missing today that sometimes I think, oh, I would love to go back and teach a little bit, but then I think of the reality of it, and I think, I'll stick to what God's given me to do right about now in my life. But I think that's a good one, and I think, you know, women really are very creative, and I think when given the opportunity, this is a great one to really enjoy the process from the girl part to the woman part. And then we have judgmental. That could kind of go along a little bit with the gossipy part, but just not always being so judgmental to other people or other situations. But when something happens, that you can be more forgiving and more gracious and really thinking of, well, maybe it didn't happen the way that I'm supposing that it did. And I think that one's helpful. And then I think we're going to get through all these, Brian.
Look at
and
us go.
And then overthinking. And this one, I think I need to reword what I have before I post this, because I don't think it really expresses what we were thinking. But the whole idea of overthinking is when you don't have a settledness about, you know, kind of where you're at in the process of thinking about any situation. And you don't want to underthink either. But I think a person who becomes a woman really takes a moment of consideration. And I like the word intentionality, to really be intentional about things. And I think, you know, a lot of times when we have arguments with our spouse, I think a lot of it's because we've been overthinking. Everybody's silent.
No comment.
Next one.
Lauren. Next.
True.
Is it true?
Yeah.
It's true for you?
Mm-hmm.
Is Eddie listening?
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
Good. But even if he was, he would agree.
That sometimes you guys argue because you've overthought something.
Yes.
Huh.
Yes. And I think, you know, I'll speak for myself too. You know, it's that dwelling on it, you know, you're dwelling on it all the time, and pretty soon it has become an argument or a situation that is different than what it started as. So to grow up in that, I think, is to become much more intentional about the thoughts that you're having. And then we can end it up here and we can.
Oh, I thought Joe might want to comment on overthinking. Joe?
No, this is the one he was like, no way.
I'm already going in a there.
That's great. Sorry, go ahead. Next one.
Okay, last one. And if anybody has anything they want to add, they can help do this on My Marriage Matters. We'll have fun bantering back and forth on it. The last one is, and I really like this one, a girl will be entitled and demanding. And I'll tell you, if you see a young child who is misbehaving and demanding things, and why don't I get this, and how come I can't have that, and why are you talking to me this, you know, you're going on and on. If you see that when they're 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, you are in trouble when this child becomes a teen. So if you don't nip this one in the bud, you're going to have a big bunch of troubles. But the woman, so instead of being entitled and demanding, she is going to show gratitude and graciousness. And I think to wrap it up, I would say, really, aren't we just talking about the Proverbs 31 woman? And some of the things that I love in Proverbs, and this is one of them from verse 27 in Proverbs 31, which anybody who wants to read it, Proverbs 31 from verse 10 to the end, where it says in 27, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. I love this verse 30. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised.
Yeah, you know, that's so encouraging to hear that. And, you know, as we said last time, Brian, as it relates to men, is that we realize that men are not born, they're made. And as we, can, you know, by God's grace and His guidance, as we help to serve our wife as a father, as I serve my girls, I mean, I am helping to shape them to become ultimately this Proverbs 31 woman. And so those are kind of the guidelines that as a man, as a husband, as a father, we can set for ourselves to just be all that we need to be for our ladies in our life.
Now, Joe, do you recommend kind of, you know, printing off the list, put it on your wife's pillow or something? Is that...
It's already there. It's already nailed on.
Yeah, guys, I'd go easy on sharing this with your wife in any sort of way.
Sure.
Maybe you could just kind of plant a seed somehow. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, and I think, you know what? I think, and I've said this before, you know, when you marry, the husband and the wife, they really smooth off each other's rough edges. But trust me, when you have children, they hack off anything else that's left, you know? And so I just think that as one spouse to another, these charts can help us to grow. And I think one of the things that I would be really complimentary of Joe is where he has encouraged me. And that is with things like, you did well at this, or I love how you this, instead of criticizing. And because I think if you criticize, you're not going to allow someone that you're criticizing really to grow. So encourage them. Encourage each other in the ways that we should go as we serve the Lord together.
Yeah, wonderful.
And really one more thing to add to that is, as we said with the guys, is that it's our relationship with Christ is the thing that really sets the tone for our relationship with each other. And so I think that those, again, those are guidelines for us to help us to be all that we need to be in Christ.
Beautiful. Again, Joe and Cindy Farini with My Marriage Matters. I'm sure folks want to see this list of how someone can see the difference between acting like a girl or a woman. How can they get their hands on the chart?
Well, as soon as I go grocery shopping for my womanly duty in my home, I will post it a little bit later, probably about 10 or 11 o'clock, and I'll post the chart. And I would love people to interact with it and let us know if they have any to add.
And what's the other contact information for folks who want to find you? They can find you online, right?
Yes, at joefarini.com or cindyfarini.com will be our website. And later tonight or tomorrow, we'll have this broadcast, the audio here, we'll have it put on the website and anyone can listen to it there at joefarini.com, cindyfarini.com.
Thanks to you both. It was a lot of fun. Always love having you
here.
And we'll talk again soon, okay?
All right.
Thanks for the opportunity. Bye.